you know, I think my path mirrors that of many product makers or entrepreneurs, which is that kind of like you said, yeah, I was experiencing a problem, not with podcasting, but with creating video. And so I decided to build something that kind of answered that problem.
This episode of The Matt Report is brought to you by the team at Valet. Valet helps brands unleash their potential with real-time metrics, intelligent recommendations, and that age-old method of having an awesome team to back it all up. See, my friends at Valet are up to something really, really cool. But first, let me ask you this question. Every time you build a website for a client, don't you feel like you're making the web a better place? Well, here's the thing. Valet's got something in the works that will let you back that claim up. It's called Valet Metrics, and you can get your free website snapshot over at valetmetrics.com. It's an amazing tool. You get in-depth analysis of a website covering security, speed, usability, traffic, conversions, all wrapped up in this beautiful reporting dashboard that provides action, not fluff. You and Valet, making WordPress and the web a better place. Get your snapshot at valetmetrics.com. Season 4, Episode 1, we're back with Matt Report Season 4. And that's been an exciting ride in interviewing 10 folks in and around the WordPress space. And of course, we're kicking it off with somebody who is not in the WordPress space. It's Logan Nicholson. He runs a website called musicformakers.com. And this is a royalty-free music download sort of a marketplace. And it's actually powered by Easy Digital Downloads and Restrict Content Pro. And it was just a great find to find somebody who's not knee deep in the WordPress space like a lot of us, but who just simply found WordPress as a software platform to build his business and deliver media files and have recurring revenue coming in and sort of building that sort of membership site, but actually delivering digital goods at the same time. So it's definitely an interesting look into how someone outside of our ecospheres looks at WordPress and uses WordPress and doesn't dive into the nitty gritty. I really hope you do enjoy this episode. He's a great marketer, a great business person. I wish him all the best building this business. And hey, look, all the music that you hear in season 4 is from that website. It's musicformakers.com. So I hope you enjoy it. Thank our sponsors, Pagely and Valet, for sponsoring season 4, really stepping it up and helping the Matt Report make it through all the way to the end of the year until 2017, until season 5 kicks in. So make sure you go find them on Twitter and thank them. It's Pagely and Valet. Let's get into the show. Hey, Logan, welcome to the Matt Report.
Thanks, Matt. I'm excited to be here.
You are... let's see. I've been following you for a little while. I'm also a customer of yours. You run a website called musicformakers.com. And as I was preparing for the show, I was trying to remember how I even came across your product and website. And I just can't remember. But Music for Makers is a great place to get royalty-free music in your inbox every week for free. And I do. And I get my free track. I have my pro account where I can download my pro tracks, which obviously helped me greatly in podcasting and creating screencasts and tutorials for WordPress. But for folks that don't know who you are, what's your 2-minute elevator pitch on who you are and what you do?
Okay, so you summed it up pretty well. So the only thing I would back up, because some people, I think it's a pretty widely understood concept now, but just to go back and kind of define royalty free music or stock music. So today, when somebody creates a video or a podcast or even like a video game or something, typically you're going to need to license out music if you want to use background music in that project or that whatever you make. And so there are a lot of places to get this royalty-free, and royalty-free is important because basically what that means is whenever you use the music, you don't have to pay fees each time you use it or each time somebody hears it or whatever. So basically there are a lot of sources where you can get royalty-free music. A lot of them are pretty expensive, or if they're not, there's a lot of what's Creative Commons 3, which is basically means you can use it essentially however you want, but you have to include attribution, which can be kind of cumbersome depending on how you plan on using it. So Music for Makers is a project I launched a little over a year ago, and essentially Like you said, I send out one free song every week. And then if you want more than that, if you want every song I've ever sent, or you want full versions of songs or whatever, then there's the pro account where you can basically download whatever you want for an annual fee. So that's the elevator.
Are you familiar with Unsplash.com?
Yeah.
So I like to say, or at least in my own thoughts, that you are the Unsplash of audio files. Is that something that you've sort of aimed yourself at, or?
That's really funny you said that, because that was especially so launching Music for Makers. It was kind of a combination of the actual launch was very much styled after Unsplash. And then kind of the way the business is built is modeled after more like Death to the Stock Photo, which if you know about Unsplash, I'm guessing you probably know about that. But they kind of do the same thing where it's a free, there's a monthly photo pack that's free that you get by email. Or you can go pro and you can get access to everything they have in their library and kind of some exclusive stuff. So, but yeah, the Unsplash was very much, when I launched Music for Makers about a year ago, it was the whole minimum viable product thing. And, you know, I had some leftover recordings that were just sitting around and I had this idea. So I threw up a pretty quick page. It's kind of embarrassing now when I look back on it, but that was essentially just, you know, a email input field and then a couple sample tracks and explained, you know, like that you're going to get a free song every week and just kind of threw it out there. So yeah, I'm always really flattered whenever somebody says, mentions Unsplash or Death to the Stock or anything like that, because I think those are really interesting, great stories, and so it's cool to kind of be compared to them.
This episode of the Matt Report is brought to you by Pagely. Pagely, where we help big brands scale WordPress, it's enterprise WordPress hosting in the Amazon cloud. If you're building big, powerful WordPress websites for your clients, you need big, powerful hosting, and Pagely delivers. I use Pagely for my websites and e-commerce shops, so I trust their service, and I have no issues recommending them to you. Look, I only bring on sponsors that I trust. And who else trusts Pagely? Verizon, eBay, Disney, Twitter, and more. You can see that right on the homepage of their website. Pagely is the OG of WordPress managed hosting, and they're innovating the market every single day. If your clients trust you to write scalable code, then trust Pagely to host it for you. Check out pagely.com. So for folks who are listening and they're wondering, you know, why am I interviewing Logan today? Not only is he a cool guy and he's got a great product, but the site is actually powered by Easy Digital Downloads by Pippin Williamson, which is actually a sponsor of my other podcast, Plugged In Radio. So we're going to talk about how you've sort of found your way into using WordPress and EDD and sort of that journey. But what was the sort of genesis or the granular one little grain of salt to launch this idea? Were you podcasting? Did you have friends that were podcasting, or you just saw this as a market opportunity? What really spawned the business?
So it helps to rewind a little bit, maybe a year to 2 years ago, when I was, and I still am actually working for an ad agency. So Music for Makers is currently just a side project. And so in my day job, I started and as I work as a digital marketer, content, you know, strategist kind of thing, for an ad agency. And so about a year to 2 years ago is when video was really starting to blow up on social media. Twitter, you know, kind of launched video on their platform. Facebook really started prioritizing it with the algorithm and everything. And so I started experimenting with it more with client accounts. And I found that the barrier to entry is amazingly low now, just because, you know, iPhones shoot really high quality footage. There's a lot of video creation tools and apps out there. And there's even free footage out there that you can use if you can't or don't want to shoot your own. So there's really little to no barrier to get started with video now. But I noticed that background music was still a kind of a pain point. So I'd create this whole video and then I'd try to go find audio to put in it. And it's like the cheapest you could find, maybe be like $15 a track. But it can go up to, you know, $100 a track, depending on where you look, like some of the higher quality production music libraries. So basically I was, you know, through my own creative projects or whatever was finding that there was this need. And then, so I had the idea to do something about it because I've actually been making music, like playing shows and putting out records and everything since around age 15. So, and I've always done my own studio work, like audio recording work. So, I had a handful of unreleased compositions just sitting around. And then it kind of inspired by Unsplash and Death to Stock, I just decided to kind of, you know, throw it up there and see what the response was. So, I think I posted put up the site, and I think I posted on Reddit and a couple other random places. And after a couple of months, I had, you know, around 2,000 subscribers. So I felt like at that point it was relatively viable. And so I started putting more resources into it. And so, that was kind of how things went for several months. I think around February is when I launched Pro, and that's when, you know, it actually started making money and everything. So, I think my path mirrors that of many product makers or entrepreneurs, which is that kind of, like you said, yeah, I was experiencing a problem, not with podcasting, but with creating video. And so I decided to build something that kind of answered that problem and, you know, hoped that other people would find it useful. And so that's pretty much how it happened.
That's a sweet breakdown, a sweet story of how it all came about. It's actually, it mirrors very well the traditional WordPress entrepreneur who might be selling a theme or a plugin, and he or she actually is the developer, they're the designer, they're the marketing person, and they sort of do all the stuff on their own, and they, you know, they do the same, you know, most of them anyway, do the same thing. They do the MVP, they launch it, they build a list. And again, traditionally a lot of it's free, the freemium model, where they're giving away a free portion of the plugin. And then of course you can upgrade to Pro for, you know, more features and support and all that fun stuff. So very similar, sort of paths that you walk, which I guess, like you said, is almost identical across any entrepreneurial journey. But that being said, are you also the man behind the green curtain, making all the music too, and running the website, or do you plan on, or do you have people who actually help you create the music and they get a little bit of a cut? How does that all break down?
No, it's currently it's all me right now, and that's actually something that out of the gate I kind of launched bigger than I actually am, and that, you know, like most of the marketing and branding and everything was, you know, and all the copy was like in third person. And initially, you know, a lot of people would email me or talk to me, and they would always say like, you guys, or, you know, it was all always in third person. Like I was this company. And I did that initially, I think, just to make it seem like it was more professional. But I've actually found that kind of pulling back the curtain and showing that it is just me is one way to differentiate myself and what I provide from some of the other options out there, because most of the other stock music options out there, especially the big ones, are really just third parties that are, you know, it's almost like eBay for music. So you're paying them, and then they're taking, you know, they're giving the funds to the music creator, but they're taking a cut, and it ends up being this kind of impersonal transaction. I think that's kind of a drawback. So all that to say, it is just me every week creating the music and then doing the marketing and, you know, running the website and everything. So,
wow, that's absolutely sounds like an immense amount of work. What, you know, people ask me all the time, customers of mine that say, how much to build a website, or how long does it take to build a website? How long does it take to make a track, lay a track of music down in your business? Or does it, again, it just totally varies depending on the mood?
It varies a lot. I would say now, after doing it every week for a year, I'm a lot more efficient in getting it done. So I would say now, less than 10 hours a song, starting, you know, if we were talking about actually genesis of like writing the melody and everything, actually laying down the tracks and then mixing and mastering and all of that. Typically it would be anywhere between 5 and 10 hours, depending on how complicated the song is. And if I start out with kind of a direction I know I want to go. So it's, you know, it's definitely a part-time job in addition to the full-time gig that I've got. So it's not a, it's definitely a commitment for sure.
Yeah, I believe it. In terms of growing the site, I'm assuming things are still going well and you're selling pro accounts. I mean, I keep getting music, so I know you're still doing it. You haven't given up yet. What does that look like? You know, again, part-time job. How do you see yourself scaling it? What's the year-end goal and maybe the goal for 2017 that you're setting your sights on?
So scaling has always kind of been interesting. And that's actually a question that I've been asked really early on. I think when a while back I got hunted, a long time ago, actually, I got hunted on Product Hunt. And I remember somebody asked me that question then. And at the time I was like, that's not really something out of the gate I really thought that much about, because I was just trying to meet this one need. So one really obvious way to scale would be to include other musicians. And that's something I've entertained, and I've had people ask me, you know, how do they submit music and everything. That's not something I really intend or envision happening in the near term, I would say. Mostly because, for one, obviously I have a lot greater control over the quality and everything if I'm doing it myself. But then also it kind of gets complicated from a legal perspective and just the way that the business is structured and everything, pricing and sharing revenue and all that would be kind of complicated. So I've kind of avoided that. And again, that would be the most obvious way to scale. So instead, at this point, really, it's just about growing the audience, because, you know, Music for Makers is relatively, compared to the other options out there, it's pretty affordable. So really the business model there is, you know, a high volume of customers to help, you know, cover expenses, basically. So at this point, scaling it is just really about getting more people, growing that audience. And there's a few other ways. So I started working with typically, just to go back and explain a little bit about Music for Makers and the license itself. So typically a music license has certain restrictions and it can be kind of complicated, especially if you're not a lawyer. And so that was another thing I didn't like about music licensing and stock music. And so Music for Makers license is basically as simple as it gets, which is that you can use the music however you want, but you can't redistribute or resell it. And that's like the standard license. But I've started working with some like video production apps who, you know, within their platform allow their customers or their users to, you know, drag over a background track onto their video or whatever. So they have this, you know, whole library of music within their app. And so I've actually started working with some of these companies and offering my music to them. And so by definition, that is kind of redistributing or reselling the license or the music. So that's a different license, but that's a direction I'm going to continue to explore, because that's worked out pretty well. And then I've got a few other kind of, you know, like secret projects in the pipeline that are a little too in the early stages to really discuss, but basically that the goal will be to it'll be a tool to essentially let people create their own tracks, more or less, or custom tracks. So anyway, so there, you know, there are a lot of things in the works. I would say goal for 2017 would be, man, a great goal would be to make it, you know, Music for Makers do so well that I could focus on it full time instead of just being a side hustle. So I guess that would be 2017 yeah. goal.
Yeah. All of us artists would love to be able to focus solely on this, on the stuff that we desire. And I think you're definitely going to get there. I mean, just based on my satisfaction and the simplicity of the service and things like that. Do you see yourself competing against, and you know, for this answer, maybe trying to put your founder hat on and say, you know, I'm trying to, you know, scale controllably, right? That's your founder hat. And then on your marketing hat, do you see yourself competing against the giant marketplaces like Audio Jungle? That's probably the only one I really know of in terms of getting music. I'm sure you know a ton of other ones, but do you see yourself, you know, competing against them? And do you have a marketing angle besides being your You know, being the solopreneur and the sort of crafter and the salesperson at the same time. All of this to say is, what's your take on going up against these types of marketplaces?
Yeah. So at this point, you know, a year in, I don't think I would say I compete with the kind of the big guys, the big libraries, at least not in terms of market share or anything like that. But I think there are a couple of different ways that music for makers is different and probably attracts a different audience. And I think that's kind of my strategy. So the first way is that music for makers, especially when it comes to kind of the higher quality production libraries, music for makers is a lot more affordable, especially with Pro. And there's the free option. I don't know that anybody's actually sending out free tracks. But obviously that's kind of that would be a relatively easy strategy to replicate. So I'm not hanging my hat on that necessarily, but so it is more affordable, but that's not necessarily how I intend to compete, because there's always going to be somebody who can undercut you on price. So really there's three ways, or three kind of ideas that I build the value proposition on. Number one is quality. So there's a lot of stock music out there, and a lot of it's bad because, basically, you know, anybody can get GarageBand or, you know, 100 different kind of audio workstations that can allow you to create music digitally with virtual instruments and things. And so that it's not really hard to create a song, but I think it is, you know, it's hard to find a good song now. So from day one, my goal has always been to create high quality work that is affordable. So that's something I still focus on for sure, that I think can help me compete against some of the bigger libraries that don't really have that level of quality. Number two is simplicity, like we just talked about with the license. You know, it's basically that's where you can get into some serious trouble with music licensing. I mean, you can buy a license for online distribution, but then you know, depending on how things are set up, if you use it on TV or something, then you could get into, you know, hot waters legally. So basically the simplicity, even some of the really good high quality sites, music libraries out there, once you start going down and, you know, trying to buy a track, you have to, you know, are you going to be using it? Some of it's, you know, are you going to be using it on a podcast or in an app or on a video? Is your audience this big? Is your company size this big? And it's, I mean, all this really complicated stuff. So yeah, I think simplicity is the second way I would kind of compete with the big guys. And then three, like you already said, is just that kind of relationship. You know, it's music is inherently kind of a personal, emotional thing. And so I think it can be a powerful differentiator that, you know, to connect with the music creator. And so I would say that's definitely the third thing. And that just allows for some greater flexibility. And since I create and own all the music, just last week, for example, somebody reached out about the latest free song, and they said, hey, you know, the song is great, but it doesn't feel that usable to me, because there's in that particular song, I was playing acoustic guitar, and there, I did a lot of sliding up and down the neck. And so there was kind of a squeakiness with the strings. And so this customer said, you know, it's hardly usable because of that squeakiness. And since quality is a big deal to me, that same day I actually went back, cleaned up that track and reposted it to the site. And so I feel like, you know, you're not going to be able to get that same experience with some of the big music libraries, especially the ones that don't create the tracks themselves. So I think the relationship and the kind of the personal aspect of it is a big deal too.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty amazing. It's actually one of the questions that popped into my head, because again, surprisingly, I'm finding you're striking, no pun intended, striking so many chords that seem so similar to, you know, the WordPress product space. And one of them being, you know, in WordPress, customer comes, they buy a theme or they buy a plugin, and they're, you know, brand new to WordPress. They don't know really how to use this stuff. And, you know, they get frustrated. They don't know how to install it. They don't know how to set it up. And the immediate response is, give me my money back. You know, this doesn't work the way I expected it to. But the reality is it's not the product's fault. It's just the web, and it's the WordPress, and it's how it's done. So interesting similarities. Has there been particular challenges in this space? That's one of them for sure, is a customer saying that, boy, I don't think the quality is there. Has there been another challenge in terms of customer support in a business like this where they're buying audio tracks that you've picked up on that maybe you weren't ready for at all? I mean, honestly, the answer could be no.
Yeah, I think it's actually been pretty smooth sailing. And I think I owe a lot of that just to the different tools I use and everything that are, you know, high quality and get the job done. But I mean, on my end, yeah, like it's, yeah, like what, you know, I can't really think of anything off the
top
of my head.
Yeah, no, that's fine. What about price point? To be honest with you, I closed the site, just to save some bandwidth here, but the price point is what for the pro for the year?
$100 even.
Now for somebody who, you know, again, pulling similarities against themes, maybe a theme is $59, but it takes, you know, 40, 60 hours to put a theme together and then you sell it for $50. Similar to you is you're creating all these tracks and then you might be going back and remastering them and touching them up for quality. Do you see that as a viable price point, $100, or do you see because of the hands-on care that you put, the price should go up and maybe that's a winning market for you?
So yeah, I think at the current price point, you know, volume of the customer base is going to have to grow significantly. So that's something that's kind of been on my mind for a while. So I would not, basically it's very possible that in the future, you know, within 2017 at some point that price will probably go up. And part of that is just the nature of the product, because that library grows by one song every week. So the value of the pro subscription grows every week. So, you know, obviously if that happens, the current customers will be locked in at their existing price, but their existing annual subscription. But yeah, that's kind of the interesting question that I've been working on since I launched Pro is, do I go for the low overall price and just try to grow the number of customers, or do I, you know, not worry about that and price it what I feel like it's really worth and just have a smaller group of customers. So basically I've thought through it a lot and haven't come to a conclusion necessarily, but I would not be surprised if the price does go up in the future.
Sure. Well, folks, get it while it's hot because once the price goes up, I would say it's totally worth it for any price that you set it at, because, you know, it's been an invaluable resource. One of the things that you mentioned was growing the amount of users. So again, if you stay at this price point, how are you going to get that volume? What is your take on, again, because I'm an exceptional interviewer and did zero background check on you. I didn't realize that you were also into content marketing and marketing strategist. What's your, you know, plans for outreach? I mean, I just see a million different opportunities for you. Just going on podcasts alone is a plethora of time that you could spend talking to folks who create podcasts or teach podcasting. Do you have any other sort of marketing channels that you are, you know, quick wins in your business that you might be going after?
Quick wins, I would say some of the ones that have worked out really well for me, honestly, have been different launches. So with Product Hunt, that has directly resulted in new pro subscribers launching things on that, both with Music for Makers. And then a while back, I launched a free tool called ZenMix, which is basically just an audio generator. So you open up your browser and there are kind of some relaxing sounds that allow you to kind of focus, whether you're just trying to kind of chill out or if you're trying to get stuff done or whatever. But I launched that. That was kind of also inspired by a crew who did Unsplash. And, you know, I think in an email or something, suggested that the kind of the content marketing, the whole blogging and waiting for something to happen, is that's becoming a lot more saturated and it takes a lot of time. Whereas what they started doing is, you know, after Unsplash, they did How Much to Build a Website, How Much to Build an App, and, you know, a few other things like that were basically kind of calculators. But they were these tools that people could go and use, and they attracted a ton of traffic, which then translated into, you know, increased business. So that's something I will continue to do, I think, is various launches that I think will appeal to the customer that I'm trying to reach, and basically just get a lot of attention initially and then kind of redirect that attention to Music for Makers. Video is something I'm going to start doing a lot more. It's kind of ironic. I didn't do a lot of it starting out, even though a large percentage of my customers, especially pro customers, are people who create videos. But it was something I did a couple of videos early on that were kind of accessory to blog posts and threw them up on YouTube. And those have continued to generate traffic and get attention. And so that's actually something I'm going to be focusing on a lot more through the end of the year and into 2017 from a content marketing standpoint. But beyond that, it'll be kind of a lot of the standard things, you know, probably some guest posting. I did some of that early on as well. Podcasts, I've been on a couple of podcasts. That's always an awesome opportunity that I'm, you know, grateful to have. So it's kind of fail fast kind of thing, you know. I'm going to be trying a bunch of different approaches, and whatever seems to be working is what I'll keep doing. So
yeah, no, I totally agree. And it makes sense, you know, number one, especially since you do have a day job at this time, creating content, as you know, from your day job and what you've been doing, is not easy.
Right.
It takes up a boatload of time, and you know, you're heavily vested in creating the music too, which is also taking up a boatload of time, you know, especially if you try to maybe get two tracks done in a week because you're going on vacation next week. That's, you know, that's half your you know, weekly workload right there. So definitely a smart move to try to find these sort of maybe like tools or quick calculators or even these sort of mini little apps that can draw the attention without having to write 1,000 words 5 times a week. So look, the reason why I said I think Logan would be a great fit for the show is because when I downloaded my first track, I said, this is Easy Digital Downloads. This is something that I'm familiar with. How did you stumble upon it? Was it your first time using it? What was that like? What was it like, you know, using WordPress, or what is it like using WordPress as a platform to drive commerce, e-commerce sales for your business?
So I actually can't really remember how I found out about Easy Digital Downloads. And I've had a few kind of smaller projects with WordPress before and played around with developing themes and stuff, but I've never really launched something on the scale of Music for Makers with it. And so basically it was kind of a no-brainer, because for me, I mean, using WordPress was a no-brainer because I'm pretty comfortable with like HTML and CSS, but beyond that, I can get lost pretty quickly. So WordPress is pretty amazing in that, you know, what I can do with HTML and CSS allows me to tweak things to fit my needs, but most of the infrastructure and functionality is already there. So using WordPress was, basically, I would say Music for Makers wouldn't exist without it. Easy Digital Downloads, kind of the same thing, really. I mean, it powers the whole operation. So again, I don't know exactly how I found it. I was probably just Googling, you know, different kind of marketplace plugins or e-commerce plugins. But yeah, so I landed on Easy Digital Downloads, and I think the initial platform is free, and that might be what got me in the door is I was able to kind of try it out before I really started investing in it. So it's been great. The whole team, Pippin and the whole team are excellent. Support is fantastic. It's really allowed it to be kind of a seamless process, you know, providing the whole back end and the payment processing and everything.
And you're using Stripe and PayPal, or is it just Stripe? I forget.
It's Stripe and PayPal. Yep. Nice. And those are just plugins or add-ons is what Pippin calls them, yeah. But that you just add on top of Easy Digital Downloads. And then there are really two parts of how the site works. The general marketplace. So to back up, Music for Makers really has three kind of price points. There's the free email newsletter that early on wasn't really using anything. I think I was actually using like SoundCloud, you know, embeds on the site. But I could kind of run that with anything. But then there's the kind of a la carte or one-off purchases. So if you don't want to go pro, you can just buy tracks by themselves, although it's really not the most cost-effective way because, you know, one of my tracks could cost $15 to $25. But anyway, but you can, and some people do that. And so that's really what's powered, you know, Easy Digital Downloads powers that side of it. But then the pro subscription is actually that functionality Restrict Content Pro, which is another one of Pippin's plugins. And I think, you know, I think it's actually, it was developed traditionally to be used for like a membership site or like a learning management system. So it allows you to kind of create a, you know, a walled, you know, a behind closed doors kind of community sort of thing where you have to pay or at least register to get access. So, but since Pippin developed both plugins, they work really well together. So what I'm able to do is have somebody sign up through Restrict Content Pro, and then they automatically get 100% discount on everything in the Easy Digital Download store. But RCP controls like all the recurring payment side of things and subscriptions and all of that. So, yeah, I mean, it's like I said earlier, I think a lot of the reason I haven't had any major hiccups have been just because of the quality of the products I'm using, and that's definitely no exception. So I feel lucky to have kind of stumbled upon it.
Boy, I couldn't have created a better ad spot for Easy Digital Downloads and Restrict Content Pro.
Yeah, and I'm not an affiliate or anything like that. I mean, I really love them. I mean, like because I mean, inevitably you're going to run into problems here and there, you know, and bugs and whatnot. And I've definitely run into my fair share, but their crew has been more than helpful and, you know, quick to respond and everything. So I'm a happy customer for sure.
Yeah. So few people, even folks who've been doing, you know, WordPress consulting or building sites for people for some time, you know, really rely on the support of a commercial plugin or really see the value in it. And you hit the nail on the head. You know, one of the things when I'm helping people pick the right WordPress plugin, when they come to me and they say, hey, I want to do this, and, you know, what do you think the best plugin is? Or I saw this plugin over here and it's only $10. Should I go buy it because it's so cheap, or it's on some like discount, you know, AppSumo list or something like that? You know, the answer is always take a look at who's building it. Do they have an ecosystem that's going to really support the business? So again, in your case, yeah, you use Easy Digital Downloads, but you also use Restrict Content Pro, which plays nice because they're built by the same team. And not only that, not only does the code play nice together, but they're going to support you on both fronts, right? So if you have some kind of conflict or something's not working, they can easily solve that for you. And that's worth, you know, the price of admission right there. And then, oh, by the way, there's a third, you know, tier of Pippin's ecosystem, which is Affiliate WP. So if you wanted to get into, you know, having people do affiliate sales for your, or referral sales for your service, boom, you could link up Affiliate WP, and, you know, with a click of a few, you know, option pages, you'll be able to set up people's, you know, referral links, and they can make a little bit of money, and you can, you know, grow the business. So ecosystem, yeah, in terms of products,
that's something I've considered too, actually. So it's funny that you mentioned that.
Yeah. I mean, for me anyway, I would imagine be a no brainer, you know, refer a friend, get $10. I think that's like what DigitalOcean does or something like that, as, you know, mm-hmm. some crazy thing. You'll be happy to know, which you might've already seen land in your inbox, although you are probably just waking up since it's early on the left coast. They updated their free, this is Easy Digital Downloads. The email just went out. They updated their free, downloads add-on, right? So now there is probably one thing that sort of drives you a little bonkers right now is you have to go through this whole purchasing process for somebody to download a free product. They're improving that now, and they're doing it so that the person doesn't have to run through the whole routine of going through the checkout process every time
I have to check into that, because that was something that rubbed me a little wrong, you know, initially, and I found a workaround, but yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah. I just received the email. So, and you can do all kinds of other things like bundle, you can do a free product and then upsell, to another product, or do a multi-price product. So this actually might really fit the bill for, for what you have going on.
Yeah, I will be looking at that.
One other question about the word running the site on WordPress. Have there been any other areas of WordPress that maybe you feel as a business owner can be improved upon, or any other feedback for maybe the WordPress community at large for marketing the site or blogging or just running the business in general on WordPress? Any other thoughts in that area?
I haven't spent a ton of time thinking about that, to be honest.
Sure. What other plugins do you use to run the business? Are you using SEO plugins or other marketing plugins, or is it just sort of bare bones WordPress and easy digital downloads?
I'm using a lot of the, at least what I would think as like kind of the standard. So yeah, Yoast SEO is in there. Sumo Me, Discuss for comments. I'm looking through my plugins right now, actually.
Sure.
MailChimp.
Cool. Yeah, it seems like all of the standard sort of blogger / content marketing plugins. Do you get into any WordPress sites with the day job at all?
Not really, no. A lot of the work that my agency does is, a lot of times it'll be built on something. I think we do have a couple clients on WordPress, but that I don't really work a lot with. But mm-hmm. A lot of times it's built on something else, kind of a more...
proprietary system.
Yeah, more commercial. Yeah, definitely not like open source or something, so.
Interesting. Interesting stuff. Do you like using WordPress a little bit better compared to those sort of more complex enterprise solutions, or are you sort of indifferent?
Well, to be honest, what I do in my day job, I rarely come into contact with any kind of like CMS or anything. So
got it.
I do a lot of basically creating the content, copywriting and everything. But then typically, then it's handed over to the developer or somebody who they put it into the site and all that. So, Music for Makers is actually scratches an itch to a degree, because I've always liked having, at least toying around with development a little bit and design and everything. So, in my day job, I'm doing kind of content and strategy all day, which is, I love that kind of stuff too. But Music for Makers allows me to kind of play around with that sort of thing.
That's great. It's like a creative outlet for creativity at the same time. Like this weird sort of complexity there. That's awesome. Logan, this has been an amazing episode. I'm glad that I had the chance to talk to you. Glad that we booked the time to do it. Musicformakers.com. I use it for the audio stuff that I do with podcasting, the audio stuff I do with my screencasts and tutorials. It's great stuff, and I wish you all of success in the world. The next time we chat, hopefully you'll be on a yacht somewhere out in the San Francisco Bay, I guess, living it up with all the other venture capitalists. But where can folks find you to say thanks for doing the show?
Well, musicformakers.com is the easiest place. I'm also, on Twitter at musicformakers. That's probably the two easiest ways.
Awesome. Everybody else, you can subscribe to the newsletter, mattreport.com/subscribe. This is the first episode of season number 4. And this is Netflix style, baby. So hopefully you're consuming all of these episodes, binging on them, because what else do you have to do other than learning what it's like to run a business on WordPress? Check it out, mattreport.com. Hey everyone, did you enjoy this episode? Head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. It really helps. I say it all the time, but it definitely, definitely does. Always reach out to our guests and say thanks. We always link them up at the end of the show to share their Twitter account or wherever they can be found online. So make sure you go ahead and do that. They spend a lot of time with us. And thank our sponsors, Pagely and Valet, for keeping the Matt Report going until the end of the year. If you're interested in sponsoring the Matt Report, you can get a hold of me. It's mattreportblog@gmail.com or just mattreport.com/contact. Reach out. We are looking for sponsorships going into 2017. Again, if you want to sponsor one of the premier WordPress podcasts out there, go ahead and reach out, mattreport.com/contact.